host this week's Devil in the Detail podcast. I'm Rob Parkinson, and I'm here talking all things. So for a Devil's joining the show this week, as ever, we've got Paul Whiteside. How's your week been, mate? Been busy?
Yeah, it's been pretty busy, but I finished work on Wednesday night, so I've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off, so I've got, how many days is that? 5 days off, five days off, so maths is no good with me. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to a bit of time off and watching the rugby and that. There's games on Good Friday and then Salford play Saturday. And yeah, it's just nice to finish and have a bit of time off.
There's a rumour that there's an Oscar nominee living in your house for a fantastic performance last night in a show. Is that true?
Yeah, our Imogen's in Mary Poppins at school, so we went last night. I mean, I was late finishing from work, so I had to go straight from work, but it was really good. My mum and dad come down, our Louise come down, we all watched her and that, and she only had a couple of lines in it, but she was really, really good, and the dancing was a great show. The kids really put a good show on. Yeah, I was surprised, really, because Imogen's like in year 8, but some of the other ones were in year 9, year 10, year 11, and yeah, it was really good. The songs are really good, and I didn't realise how many songs were in Mary Poppins, but singing along, because you do remember them all, don't you? She's there tonight, actually, doing another one tonight. We've got to go and pick her up soon. But yeah, she enjoyed it. She's doing really well. And I think it's just give her something else to focus on at school and that. Because she struggled a bit at school this year. So she's enjoying that and wants to do this drama thing. So we enjoyed it. It was a good night.
Yeah, I treaded the boards in my youth. I did pantomime. I was in Puss in Boots, Tom and Dick, which are the comedy characters. I was Tom. I was in Aladdin with Wishy Washy. I was Wishy. See, that's where I get my comedy timing from. I was obviously there. And also, I was in Greece as well. I was Eugene in Greece.
Right.
So, yeah, we had quite a good memories of that, obviously, back in the day. Remembering lines was the worst part. I mean, to remember what you were going to say. And luckily, there was always like the director was at the corner of the curtain. And if you ever forgot a line, you just walk up to the corner of the stage, look into space or thoughtful. And then they'd just say, whisper your line to you. And you'd be like, that's my line. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I don't think
very enjoyable. I'm sure you're up and she'll take it up and there'll be more to come.
Yeah, let's hope so. Yeah, as long as she enjoys it and that, I think that's it when you've got kids and that and they're growing up at school and you can have plenty of pressure on them with exams and all this carry on. But if they're doing stuff that they enjoy and that and it takes them away from school life. No, it's all good. She had a parents' evening the week before and they've got a rugby team, but they're on about getting a proper team next year and playing in matches and all that. So the teacher was quite interested to know that I watch a bit of rugby and that, and she was sort of
you'll be getting rugged
in. Trying to get some tips out of me and all. I thought, you'll be getting me coaching, I'm no good, mate. All that carry on. So I'm better off on the sidelines, me just watching. But well, no, it's all good. Imogen's interested in it now in rugby league and what have you. So, all good. So, yeah, she finishes tonight, and then kids are off then for Easter. So it's a good time to spend with your family Easter.
Yeah, Coach Whiteside. It'll be like a flashback when it's in the 70s. You'll be shouting at people in the change room. I don't care if you're only 14. You don't drop the ball there. Screaming at them in the face.
I'll be like the Neil Warnock of rugby league. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah. Also,
you're having last little couple of questions with Paul Rowley. Just look, I've got some advice I want to speak to you about my under 14s rugby team. They're just not quite gelling. How do I get them to play Rowley ball?
Keep to the process.
This is it. The process. That's it. So, the bit to go at tonight, look back at the Challenge Cup defeat for our men, our ladies, reserves, wheelchair team as well. I know we spoke about them last week, but I actually watched the match this week on YouTube. So we'll have a little deep dive into that as well. So yeah, let's kick it off with the Challenge Cup defeat against Hull Kingston Rovers.
You're listening to Devil in the Detail, and this is your big match review.
So for the Devils are out of the Challenge Cup. Defeated by Hull Kingston Rovers, 40 points to nil. Thoughts, obviously, a disappointing result. A big thing for us supporters, aren't we? We want to go all the way and to be defeated at Hull Kingston Rovers. Bitter pill to swallow, really.
Yeah. Yeah, without going mad. Yeah, I thought it was very, very disappointing. I've heard a few people say it, and I had a chat with somebody at the ground who remained nameless the week before, and he was mentioned about the cup, and if we're to get knocked out, it gives us more rest and this, that and the other, and we concentrate on the league. And I just don't get it. I just don't buy that at all. I mean, the Challenge Cup is such a prestige trophy, and it's not like we've won it loads of times. We've won it once, a very, very long time ago. So to treat the cup with that contempt, I don't get it with some supporters. But no, I went there confident. You know, Mikey Lewis was out for OKR, so he's a big, big old lad with their team. And we had two good games against Saints and Wigan, so I was expecting us to do really well, but we never got going. We never got going at all. We looked like we lacked energy, and we looked totally disorganised. I mean, some of the tries OKR scored, the tackling was powder puff, wasn't it? I mean, that Tangino went through. I mean, King Runyai, who I tried to take his head off, he brushed off about four of the... I just thought the contact was poor. I don't know. It's hard, isn't it, to say, but we just didn't look interested. And I'm not saying we chucked the game, but we didn't look like we were bothered, really. Our heads weren't on that game whatsoever at all. And I think sometimes it's hard to get going. Once you start a game like that, you're behind the eight ball, the game's running away from you, and you just end up 16, 18, 24 points behind, and it's good night at the end, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought they were second best in every department, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Like you said, just didn't really get going. And I don't quite understand, obviously. It's a difficult place to go, King's Rovers. Crowds on you. You've got big forwards that run hard and straight. It's, like you say, you've got to be the best, aren't you, to get to the final. Yeah. But it was disappointing. I went into the press conference after with Paul Rowley. And you know what? I thought I did a great job. And obviously, everyone was deflated. And we went to the press conference and I was obviously waiting for him to come in. And he basically just said, look, we were second best. They're all disappointed in there. They're all adults. I don't need to go in there and start shouting at people because they know they've let themselves down. We're going to have an honest review and we'll have to just put this back in the drawer and we'll go from here. And I thought, because I was looking at him at the time, because obviously the other journalists were peppering him with questions, and I thought to myself, what am I going to ask him here? Because he knows that we were poor. The players know they were poor as well. So I just thought, well, I'll ask him about the character, because that's what it is. I think the important part now is how you react to this defeat, because last season, we lost to King's Rovers, and then we only won three of the next 11. That can't happen again this early in the season. So I'm sure lessons will be learned. I know it was 12 months ago, spoke about it to Christian Inu in the pop-up yesterday in the press conference, and he was like, it's 12 months ago, different team now, better team now. We're going to react better than we did then, which is mute to my ears, really.
Yeah, well, time will tell, Rob. I mean, they might not do. They might fall apart. It's all right, Christian Inu saying that, but you've got to do it on the pitch, haven't you? And I sometimes get frustrated because I'd like to see coaches sort of go off their head. And the fans want to see that passion sometimes, don't they? It's like half the time, I think in rugby league, a lot of the coaches seem the same and they don't know. They just seem to like laugh things off, don't they? And it's like, it is important to us supporters because it's a trophy that comes round once a year. And we all say, don't we, oh, we've not won the Challenge Cup for God knows how many years. Well, how many times have we lost games where we should have performed better and we've underperformed? And I think if you speak to people through, like my dad, for example, who was going in the 70s, and the good side, the great side that we had then, always seemed to come up short in the cup. We didn't perform, players got injured, and the chance got away. I mean, if you'd have said at the start of the 70s, you're going to wait till 2020 to get to another Wembley final, you'd have thought you were stupid, wouldn't you? But every year it just seems to get away from us. So yeah, well, the proof will be in the pudding, won't it, Robert? We've got some games now coming up where you'd expect us to perform and do well. Castleford away next week, Lee at home this week. Then we've got the break for the Cup and then London away. So these are games, really, if you want to finish in that top six, you've got to win, really, haven't you?
Yeah.
Because Castle have been poor. So we'll see you in these next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Obviously, you talk about how coaches react to situations like that. Do I want to see Paul Rowley losing his mind at the players? Because I think is that a sign of weakness when your coach goes off his head a bit? Like, remember Kevin Keegan with, you know, I'd love it if we beat them, love it. Fergie always says that when he said that, he knew that the race for the title was over. But I suppose I can see your point of view that you get into the players, you let them know a few home truths, and then they react to it. But I suppose now it's a bit more science-based in it, a bit more stats-based. He has videos, he has stats to show players, and look, you only made 30 metres this week, and you missed five tackles. Watch them. I know what you've done wrong. You know what you've done wrong. There's no point in me losing my mind about it, because we can both see.
Yeah, I get that. But like you talk about Alex Ferguson then, I mean, he'd sort his players out, wouldn't he? And
oh yeah,
he did well out of it. So it's like if I made a lot of mistakes at work, I mean, my manager would just put his arm around me and say, oh, it's all right, Paul, just go again next week. You'd have to answer for it, wouldn't you? So I think sometimes players have got to be, it's like everybody's saying at the moment, aren't they, about Hull FC, they're absolutely awful, blah blah blah, sack Tony Smith. Tony Smith, he's a very experienced man. He's a top coach. He's coached everyone. He's coached his country. So is it his fault? I mean, he can only do so much at training. It's up to those players then who are getting paid good money to go out there and do the business. And they're not doing so. I think a lot of the time, the coach probably takes more flack than he should do. The players have got to be responsible for what they do on the pitch. And, you know, I think I said it in my preview this week. What do you want after a defeat like that against Hull KR? And I know the support that I want. I want to go and play another game and put it right. And I'm sure the players are the same, aren't they? They don't want to go hiding. They want that game to come. I mean, if you spoke to... I mean, you did. You spoke to some of the players after the game on Friday. I mean, if you'd have asked them what they want now, put that to bed. I want to put that to bed. I want to play tomorrow. And they would do, wouldn't they? They play a league match on the Sunday if they could do, because that festers all week, doesn't it? That defeat on your mind. So I think you'll see a reaction from the players on Saturday, I'm sure.
Yeah. I did speak to Chris Atkin, Kay Cust, and someone of names escaped me at the moment. But they did, like you say, they did seem like they were upset about it. Especially Chris Atkin, he was devastated talking about how the Wembley and Challenge Cup is a target, and obviously now to have to put it back to bed for another 12 months and concentrate on the league. He was disappointed, but we were all disappointed, weren't we? You know what I mean? It's one of them things. But like you said, now it's about the reaction. Now it's how they react to that going forward. I know we've got a few injuries. I know obviously we're only a small squad, but the next three games, like I said to Christian Inu, they're all winnable. This is a real statement now. If we can win 3 from 3, it's playoff time. If we go 2 from 3, 1 from 3, I don't know whether we'll make it, none from 3, then we are in trouble.
Yeah, well, my dad always looks at it like that. He always says, we're like a fifth through the season. And he's better at maths than I am, but I think with the amount of fixtures that you play now, I mean, what if we played 5 games? It's a big chunk of the season, that. And by the time you play the next 3, 8 games out of like 27 or something. Not halfway yet, are you? But you're quite a distance through, and you can't afford to lose clusters of games, really, can you? If you want to make that top 6, you've got to be decent. I mean, you've got to be winning more games than what you lose. So I think the beauty for us is we've won 2 games this season that we didn't win last season. The OKR game and the Saints game was a bit of a bonus, wasn't it? So, but that St. Helens win and all the good work we did there, it'll be no good if we lose these next 3 games, will it? So you've got to make sure you capitalise now. And I've seen quite a bit of London on the telly this season. And yeah, they work hard, they try hard, but they're a poor side, really. So got to go down there and put them to bed. I think Cass have been pretty poor up to now, so they're another side to beat. And Lee haven't really played that well. I mean, they struggled against Featherstone in the Cup, so they've got injuries, and big injuries as well to Asiata and the Pappy. So we've got to capitalise on that. Don't give them any room. And, you know, let them know who's boss. And like you said, get a reaction from the players this week.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see what happens there. Let's move on to our ladies. They were in Challenge Cup action as well, away at Cardiff Demons. Went down to defeat 58 points to nil. Cardiff had a very good team, top of the Super League South. And for me, it wasn't a 58-0 game. I thought our ladies hung in. I thought they defended quite well, just undone by individual moments of magic. There was one try where a Welsh forward burst our line, ran 60 metres, went around the fullback and scored out absolutely nothing. So there was a couple of tries like that where you think you can't legislate for that. But they hung in, they battled hard. And I just think sometimes you get score lines like this one and the one last week that are lopsided, and you think it was never a 58-0 game for me.
No, I think we know that from watching the men's side for a long time. There's been years where we've gone into seasons and, you know, the players have worked hard, but they've come up against big scores, haven't they? And sometimes you're playing quality opposition, there's not a lot you can do about that. I mean, if a side's better than you, you can train as hard as you want and do what you want, but if they're better and stronger, they're going to beat you. So I think it's a massive learning curve at the moment. And we always say that, don't we? Defeats like that can make you stronger. You come back from them, don't you? And you become more battle hard and you learn things. You work harder in your training. And then when you do eventually get that chance, like we said, it's a big step up in levels. I mean, I was surprised at the score at the weekend. I didn't realise how good Cardiff were. I was expecting the ladies to go and win there, but I didn't realise, like you said, the top of the Super League South. So there's some good players. We all know there's good rugby players in Wales, in both codes and both sexes. So yeah, it's another tough week, and it'll be tough for the coach, Mike Grady, won't it? So, you know, getting the players back together this week. But, you know, you're just going to keep going, aren't you?
Yeah, had opportunities as well when they got near Cardiff's line. Demi Jones kicked through. I think it's Emily Webb nearly went over twice in the corner from the kick. But yeah, like you say, it's just completion. It did drop a bit of ball, but so did Cardiff, really. But it is it's how you react to getting a ball back in certain areas, isn't it? And we didn't quite put them under enough pressure than I thought we could have done, but it was better than it was against Wigan. But Cardiff, I don't think, are as good as Wigan. I think Wigan are a better team, but Cardiff are more individuals.
I think with stuff like completion rates and that, you've got to get the basics right, haven't you, first? Before you can think about beating teams or competing with teams like Wigan and Cardiff, you've got to get that completion rate's got to be right. You can't afford to be making mistakes. Because as soon as you start making mistakes, you're handing possession back to them. And you're inviting them back at you, aren't you? Mm. And quality sides don't need that invitation because they can create chances anyway without you giving them a load of chances. So perhaps it's just back to the drawing board, working on some of the basics and getting that right. Because sometimes we're all guilty of it, aren't we? I think all teams are guilty of it. You try and run before you can walk. Salford have done it a few times this season, trying to score on every play when it's better to just build pressure. And you know, there's all sorts of intricate stuff to rugby league, isn't it? You know, who'd be a coach, it can be complicated at times. But yeah, I think for the ladies, you get back to the basics and keep working hard and the result will come. You will get a result. We followed Salford a long time and seen us go on like runs of 12, 10 games where we've been absolutely minced and it looks like the world's going to end, doesn't it? But eventually you look to it and turns and you get that win. And sometimes it's a scruffy win, a 5-2 win against London Broncos. Remember that one? The Harlequins or whatever it was. But you do, and your luck will change.
So, we're joined by Paul Parkin. How is it your week, mate?
To be honest, quite uneventful. Yeah, I've got over Friday. That was a mission, wasn't it? Let's be honest. Me and you coming back from there was an absolute nightmare. What was it, 2 in the morning by the time we got home or something? A joke. And after that display as well, wasn't great. But since then, it's been a good week, really. I just wish the weather would buck up a bit for this time of year. But other than that, no complaints, boys.
Yeah. It was a fantastic journey home, talking everything but rugby league. I remember going to Bridge End once with Banners, Mike, my brother-in-law and Fungus camping. And we did exactly the same, but in a tent, sort of camping. I had a few beers in the afternoon talking about everything but rugby. One of the best afternoons I've ever had following Salford. It was fantastic. And Paul, you've got a lot to live up to going to London and back in a couple of weeks' time. So
It's going to be eventful, like, I think, isn't it? Yeah, it looks alright. It'll be good. But I know on Friday night, I think they shut the A63 at 10 o'clock because we just missed it. I think we were just in front of you. And I don't know why they didn't close the A63 at half 10 and let us all get out of Hull.
Yeah.
Because we were stuck in Hull, like, city centre for about an hour. So it took me 2 hours and 40 minutes to get back. It was unbelievable. When you got beat as well, you just want to get home, don't you?
Yeah. I don't mind. I had a good trip with Parker, so, you know, shut every week for me.
Yeah, it was conspiracy theories and all sorts. Anything but rugby.
Yeah.
Absolutely anything but rugby.
You're always listening, Parker. Remember that.
Yeah, they are.
So, back to rugby. Thoughts on Friday night against all Parker?
Look, it's easy to have a dig in. We're entitled to an off night, and we had one. I think we knew from probably the first minute that it wasn't, we just didn't look right and we made it look very easy for OKR at times. Some of the tries they were scoring, the tries that we've scored against teams in the last few years, but we should be able to read better and we didn't. Just creating an overlap, fullback coming in the line. And I mean, Ryan Hall had 2 strolling straight away. I mean, that's not us. That's not Salford defending. We don't do it when we go there. We haven't in the last few years. Again, we all discussed this, didn't we, the other night? And I don't know what it is about the place. We just seem to crumble. But I'm not down. It was the cup. Yes, I want to win the Challenge Cup, and I've got a lot of beef at the moment about that. But it wasn't the league. We haven't dropped any points. Our points difference hasn't been decimated. It's out of the way, and we move on now. The players will be disappointed. Paul Rowley will have told them what they've done, and expect a response. But other than that, I'd rather just forget about it.
What's your beef with the Challenge Cup?
Oh, no, just the way it's run and not run and not cared for in the way that it should be. It's not to do with Salford directly to the Challenge Cup or any team, or the way the authorities are looking after the prestige of that competition. We're letting it go to ruin. But we can discuss that another time. I know, obviously, we're all on a bit of a time scale here, but if we get a chance, we'll talk about it later.
Got
a few facts and figures.
Ladies, defeated 58-0. Me and Paul were talking about Parky. Obviously, like we've discussed, Cardiff are a real good team. Individually, some superb performances. We grafted hard, but unfortunately, went down to defeat.
Yeah, look, we said last week it was going to be tough. We're travelling down there on the day. It's to Cardiff. You know, it's a good few hours. We thought we had a nightmare to Hull. Mm. Going to Cardiff from back in the day is not great. I've done it myself. It's disappointing. But again, we say it every week at the moment. We're just learning. The girls are learning. They're going to face defeats like this year now. And it might take us another 12 months to get anywhere near where we were. We're a new team, new coach, new ideas. And it is going to take a while. And let's not forget, the standard of women's rugby has leapt on in the last 2 years from where it was when we first started. Mm. Like you say, the teams that have gone professional and then there's a stage just below that of teams that are going that way. We're not in that bracket yet. Our girls are basically volunteers. Turn up and give it a crack every week. We can't knock them for that. It's not going to be easy, but they'll learn and hopefully stick together through these tough times. And yeah, disappointing result again. Just a shame we couldn't get on the board. But the first team couldn't, the men's team, so nobody's having a pop at them so much. So, yeah, just learn, move on, and pick up for the next game.
Yeah, our reserves were in action on the community pitch on the Saturday, I think it was, on Sunday. Lost to Lee 18-8. Paul, obviously, you know, we don't know too much about the result, but obviously we've got some new faces coming in, probably the same as the ladies, really, getting to know each other and trying to build something.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Kai Morgan and Andrew Dixon played in that game as well, didn't they? So, which is good. Which is another thing you'll probably talk about in the news, this due registration with Oldham. I can't understand why our players aren't playing in the reserves team if they're not playing the first team. I thought that was what it was all about. And I know we've loaned a player out to Whitehaven. We've just signed the due regime. I don't understand all that. But no, I think, to me, I don't understand why that David Nofaluma's not been playing in the reserves, because he's been struggling for fitness. I'd have had him in there for the last 4 to 5 weeks, getting himself fit. And same with Ethan Ryan, but they don't seem to use the reserves like that anymore. I thought that's what it was for. But I think it's better to do. We've got players coming back from fitness in your first team. Put them in the reserves. I mean, the young reserve lads are going to learn loads off experienced pros. And I thought, well, that's what it was for. But no, it wasn't a bad result, I don't think, against Lee. I think we were getting closer, and Lee had a decent side out as well. So, yeah, the reserves should be being used like that. But, yeah, I don't get this dual registration thing, but perhaps that can work for us. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, final team I'm going to talk about. We spoke about it last week, the wheelchair team. They played North West Crusaders last week, went down to defeat. I think it was 42-16. I watched the match on YouTube, Parky. We talk about how exciting the game is and how physical it is, considering everyone's in a wheelchair. Really, really good performance from our players. Jamie Ball scored 2 tries. Obviously, it's great. That they get the opportunity to represent the shirt and they're taking it with 2 hands.
Absolutely. Like I said last week, I mean, it's mostly about, at the moment, having fun, enjoying the sport. But it's an entryway for some people who may not think play the what you would consider an able-bodied way, even though, like you say, you don't have to be in a wheelchair to play the game. So, but it seems it's just a good thing community-wise. And I want more people to get involved in it. It is brilliant. And the chance to represent Salford. I mean, how many chances are you ever going to get in your life to do that? I mean, we've all dreamt of it at some point in our life. And listen to Ryan Brearley say what he said in that interview the other week about he's living our dream. And he is. Absolutely, he is. As a Salford fan growing up, that's what you want to do. And this is a chance to do that. I'm full of admiration for him for going out there and doing it. And if you're not in a wheelchair, to take up a sport where you're strapped into a wheelchair, yeah. I mean, that's as alien as the other way around. So, you know, fair play to them. And I just hope they can get a few more fixtures in. And like I say, they've got something coming up in Manchester soon, haven't they? And I wouldn't mind getting down to that, providing it doesn't clash with anything. But yeah, no, I'm just really proud of them. And yeah, I hope they carry on. I just want to say, like what Paul was saying there about the reserves, by the way, I agree with it. I don't understand why we don't use the reserves in that manner. That if you've got a player coming, that's what used to happen. I remember back in the 80s, you'd have like Mick McTeague or someone like that coming back into the team. Getting back to fitness, you play on a Thursday night or a Friday night in the 18th, there's every chance you'd be on the bench on the Sunday. Mm. It was just a trial, a warm-up for a player. And if they are struggling with fitness, I mean, maybe it's one of them injuries where you're thinking if he comes back and we could tweak it, it's not worth the risk, let him rest it. I don't know, but there are players there. I mean, you don't know what's happened to a couple of players, but I suppose it's a problem of having a small squad. But I'd rather them be playing than not playing. And just seems that's what the reserves should be there for.
Yeah, interesting times. I think, obviously, Paul Rowley sometimes talks about sort of the depth of quality. So you put in someone like Nofaluma in and he's not surrounded by his quality of player, it might become a bit of a sort of an issue for him, or he might not get as much out of it, maybe. I don't know. But they're saying him playing in reserves would lift everyone else, wouldn't they? So I'm not sure. I'm not sure Paul Rowley wants to borrow, lend his players out, because he's not got that many to lend out. If he had a massive squad, he might do. But we'll have to wait and see. But like I say, it's a development issue. It's a development squad, isn't it? I mean, we've got lads there who were looking to develop over the next few years to reach that goal. And that's the important thing. It's not about now. It's about 2-3 years down the line. It's a few reserve team players that have gone through our system and gone out, come out the other end playing the Championship now. A lot playing for Rochdale. I think, is it Rock? Was in London, he's in London squad. I think Boy broke his leg. So there's different, you know, there's a pathway in there, and that's what they need in their careers. They want to see that they play for the reserves, they get the opportunity to either go into our first team squad or go elsewhere. And that's what it's all about. It's all about development, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, there's plenty of Salford players who've come through the Salford system playing in Super League. There's plenty of them floating about. So yeah, our pathway is not as bad as what people make out. There's plenty of players there. I mean, you look at Barrow's team at the moment. I think half of them have played for Salford that are playing up at Barrow. So yeah, I know we've got Nathan Connell who's gone on loan to Whitehaven as well, which is a good step for him. I'm sure he'll learn a lot there going up to Cumbria, a good club, and they'll look after him. And from what I've seen of him in the reserves, in the friendly at St. Helens, I thought he looked really, really good. And we've got to hang on to players like that. And this is a good way of them getting more experience. Because obviously, the reserves will be a decent standard, but if you're going to play at Championship level, it's even better, isn't it? So when playing for a side like Whitehaven, it'd be tough pitches, playing against some wily players in that Championship who are going to bash you about. He's a great apprenticeship player.
Yeah. Just want to go back just to the wheelchair team. The two tries from Jamie Ball, Paul. One went from right to left, good hands all across the line, and he dived over in the corner from about a yard out like a typical winger, sort of leapt into the corner, managed to get the ball down. Second try, he raced 60 yards, went round the fullback and scored in the corner. I was like, where's that come from? That was unbelievable. So congratulations to him. Fantastic effort there. And it would be probably one of our tries of the month if we include it in everybody's tries.
Well, you talk about pace, Rob, but you're even quicker, aren't you? Yeah. You've got wheels, man. You're on wheels as well. Yeah. So, that sounds magic. I like the way you say he dived in the corner.
He did, literally.
Wheelchair went all right. Yeah. No, it sounds thrilling. Like, it really does. And we've seen that sport grow and grow, haven't we? And delighted that we've got a team, you know, involved now. It's great.
Yeah. Dave Abel's try, he just sort of like skimmed, sort of scumped from dummy half and just placed the ball down. What I didn't like was the North West Crusaders defence. Every time we got near them and put pressure on the line, someone fell out of the chair. So they had to stop then to get the person back in the chair. And I was like, they're just doing that so they can set the defensive line there. They're just jumping out there. But I don't know. I don't know too much about wheelchair rugby to see whether that's illegal or not, Parker.
Well, it could be. Use tactics and things like that to your own advantage, don't you? If they've been playing longer and they know the ropes,
yeah,
you're going to use them. It happens. It happens at first team level. Certain teams know how to do things better than others if it gains them an advantage. So, yeah, play if it's part of the game. Don't get penalised. I suppose you just got to roll with it, but literally roll with it. Yeah, it sounds terrible, wasn't it? But yeah, I suppose it's a tactic that they've learned over time. But we'll pick up on that. And like I said about the ladies team and everything else, learn things all the time, whether you win or you lose. And hopefully we can take that forward and use it back on them someday.
Yeah, maybe your Imogen can use that line in the next performance, Paul.
Yeah, it was a belt to that, wasn't it? Yeah. Really good at that for him.
Yeah. So that's all the results for this week. And now we'll look at all the news coming out of the club. So we'll start with the dual reg with Oldham. Good link-up opportunity for our players and their players to get fit. Oldham Rugby League is a heartland, isn't it, of Rugby League. Lots of talent to find. We talk about our fingers being in many pies all over the world, in America, in all over. So but it's great to have another place to find players, Parker.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if I said it on here last week or I said it to you in the car or whatever. I've got a lot of respect for Oldham. I always have as a club. I remember him obviously growing up during the 80s, and he's come down to Willows and he'd bring thousands with him. It was always a good game. He always had pretty high scoring as well, I remember that. But yeah, no, I'm delighted. I mean, Mike Ford, obviously, sort of chief executive club. Sean Long coaching. They've obviously got a good setup. They've got a lot of good players there. Jordan Turner, Craig Kopchak, Elijah Taylor. Players who've been there and done it. But I think it's a great link-up. And that's why, I think for me, someone like Kai Morgan at the moment, who's a halfback, if he could go to Oldham and get some training with Sean Long, I mean, that's not going to do you any harm, is it? Surely. And Mike Ford, who's an unbelievable halfback as well. Get that experience, get to talk to people in different clubs and different and pick up things. And I think it's a great link-up. And then you say, like, Oldham, a lot of players Oldham have brought through just in recent years, the likes of Paul Sculthorpe, Kevin Sinfield, Barry McDermott, you know, people like that who've come through Oldham and the amateur setups. And Paul, you'll know yourself, living up for a while out that way towards Rochdale, and think about Oldham and amateur rugby, St. Anne's and places like that. Great clubs, brilliant, absolute production lines. And if we can gain something from that, even if it's players coming through the amateur system, maybe going to Oldham, and then they can become ours, depending on how good they are. I think it's a brilliant link-up. I don't think we could have probably chose too many better clubs to go with.
Yeah. Ponsonby United, Red Star, Ghana, Oldham now, Paul. We talk about our reach and creating a pathway, and it seems like we are trying.
It is. Well, like Pag said there, I follow the amateur game quite closely and around the Rochdale area. I've lived around there quite a large part of my life, and I work around Oldham quite a lot, and they're like a sleeping giant, Oldham, in rugby league. You've only got to go around there now, and I know there's a football team there, but it's a rugby league town more than a football town. You've got Waterhead, you've got Saddleworth, you've got Oldham St Anne's, you've got Higginshaw, Brighton Tigers in the past, where yesterday Irish came through. There's rugby league, Higginshaw as well. So it's a massive, massive part of their life in Oldham. And I think the club's been a bit nomadic. They've moved about and played in Ashton. They played at Hurst Cross for a while. They played at the football. They've been playing at Limeside. They still were at Limeside, which is a very, very small council estate, not far from where I live. And the ground is just literally a field with a fence around it. And they were playing there. So to move back to Boundary Park, which is just up the road to where I live, it's a good stadium with a brand new stand and that. And they're really thinking about being ambitious and growing crowds and that there. So it's a good link to link up with them, because, you know, they're a growing club, aren't they? And I'm sure there'll be talent coming through there. And probably, I don't know, I'm not a big fan of Jules Reg, but like Parky there, just opened my eyes a bit with the Sean Long link and things like that. There's some good people at that club. And yeah, I think it's a good thing. But no, it's good for Salford. Like you said, we're spreading our name far and wide now, aren't we? And what you've got to think of is, I know there's teams, Rochdale Hornets, there's Oldham, there's Swinton. But in Greater Manchester, for me, really, I mean, I know Wigan's in Greater Manchester, but around this area of Manchester, we are the premier club, aren't we? We're the Super League side. So yeah, we've got to be telling people who we are.
Yeah. Other news, Nathan Connell has gone on loan to Whitehaven for 2 weeks. Parky, opportunity for him to develop?
Yeah, he needs game time. Obviously, he's not in the reserves as such, because he's sort of on the fringes of being in the squad for the first team. Should we need him as a 18th man or get a call up? He's not playing, and he needs to play. He needs to develop. He's clearly got a lot of talent, and Rolls obviously sees a lot in him. So, yeah, good chance. Like Paul said, going to Whitehaven, that's not going to do him any harm. That'll certainly toughen him up. It's never easy to go there. We know that. So I think it's a great chance for him. And hopefully, it is only a couple of weeks and he can come back, probably get a few games, maybe in the reserves. And then I'd like to see him go to Oldham. Again, get games in League Two, more sort of game time down there, where it's probably not on the level of League One, clearly, of the Championship, or whatever. It's kind of, you're playing the Wales Crusaders or whatever, these Midlands Hurricanes, these teams. So you can actually develop as well. And I think that's going to be best for him. But I think, like I say, clearly the staff at the club think a lot of him. So this is a great opportunity to go out and show what he can do.
Yeah, Paul, I can understand why they went to Whitehaven and not to Oldham, because Whitehaven a Championship. So I suppose they want to test him at the highest level, don't they? They can.
Yeah, Whitehaven are a good Championship side. They beat Swindon the other week as well. They had a good win. So they're a good side at all. If you go up there, it's a tough place to go. I mean, I've seen Salford draw up there and lose up there like you two have. So, yeah, we don't win there very often. So, yeah, it's a nice drive out as well, isn't it? So, I think he'll do well there. But like Parky said, I think the plan there would be getting playing for Oldham as well, because they're looking at targeting that league there in that League One. I think they're massive favourites to win it. And what you find is when he plays in that league, no disrespect to it, but you might have a bit more time, a bit more space in that league. It's not as quick. So you can learn your trade a bit. It could be massive for him, that. And that's what we want to see. We want to see the kid blossom and then be able to come back. And it's all right just throwing him in the 18th man and having him on the bench and that. You want him to be there because he's worth being there. Not saying he's not now, but at the moment, you want he'd be a bit too green to throw in, but you want him to be chucking. Like St. Helens do, they'll bring kids in on the bench and from their reserve team, and they're ready to play. They're ready to go, aren't they? So that's the dream for Salford. That's what we've got to aim for.
Yeah, talking about good kids at the club, Harry Townsend and Joseph Griffiths have been selected for the England Community Lions. They'll be touring France in July at Parquet. So well done to them two lads.
Yeah, absolutely. Great opportunity, isn't it? Go on tour with your country. Wow. I mean, I was talking about getting a chance to play for, you know, for Salford at some level. That's the ultimate, isn't it? Go and represent your country. So, yeah, well done to them. Another chance for them to develop, hopefully. Come back, learn a few more tricks. Played against the French youth teams are always difficult to play against. It doesn't seem to come through to the top level at the moment, but they've always been like that. I remember going back years there, under 21s and things like that, giving the Aussies a tough time and things like that. So it won't be easy for them. They're always very physical, the French. So best of luck to them, and hopefully we can see them develop.
Yeah, ticket office is open on Good Friday, 9 till 12. It's open Saturday morning. It's shut Sunday, Monday, and open Tuesday, Wednesday, 10-4. Paul, to get tickets. Great to give people opportunity to go down and get it.
Yeah, it's Cass, isn't it? A week on Friday's our next game at Cass away, and then the London game as well. So yeah, looking forward to this game. But to get yourself down, there's always somebody in the desk. I bobbed down for me OKR tickets of the week, and yeah, good service. They always sort you out. And don't forget that money goes to the club as well, doesn't it? There's a percentage goes to the club.
Is it 25% parking or something like that?
I think it's about 20%, isn't it, I think. Yeah. So it's obviously well worth it. The more of us that go, all about your ticket in the club, it's a win-win.
Yeah. Fan zones open on Saturday. Interview with a Salford legend, Zorbin, local food vendors, face painting, beer bus, questions, players' questions and answers, live music with Danny Fallows, all from 3 o'clock onwards. Paul, looking good.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the weather's going to be like, but I'm hoping it's going to improve a bit because it should be a really good day. I was saying in the preview this week, we've had a bit of a rivalry with Lee over the last 20 years or so, haven't we? And had some really good games against them, so I'm sure they'll bring a good following down as well, because they've done really well. I mean, last season they had a dream season, didn't they? You know, getting to the cup final. And a lot of people sort of laughed at him with that Lee Leopards thing, which I think was a masterstroke, really. I think it's really took the club to the next level. I was working in Lee the other day, and the amount of posters that you see around Lee and these leopard things everywhere, I think it's great because he's putting them on the map. So, yeah, I'm expecting a really good day and them to bring some support, a good following down, and it'd be a big crowd.
Yeah, final bit of news, the Club 13 Matchday Business Club is go again. Parky, 26th of May, businesses go down. Bit of networking. Ellery Hanley's there as a guest speaker, £150 person. If you want to get involved with that, contact commercial@salfordreddevils.net and they will sort you out a ticket. Obviously, businesses need to be at the forefront, but driving our club forward. So things like this help.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we need all the help we can get, don't we? If we can introduce people to the sport who obviously have money to invest, this is a great way of doing it. Not only do they obviously get to learn about Salford and rugby league in general, but they get to talk to other businesses and, again, make connections. You don't know what you might meet a supplier who you've never heard of before, who becomes a friend through it, and we work out a discount and it works out again. So, yeah, it's a great thing. And Ellery Hanley being there, I mean, I don't recall in my time watching the big scene too many better players than Ellery Hanley on his day. He was unbelievable. Absolute. But I remember him. In his Bradford days, he wasn't bad. But then he went to Wigan and just world class. And then Australia, the Aussies loved him. Came back and he ended up at Leeds, didn't he? And I think that was a mistake. But you go where the money is. At that time, Leeds were signing any ex-Wigan player. We've got Sean Wayne, Andy Gregory, Ellery Hanley. He went for anyone. But Ellery, I'd love to listen to him, see what stories he's got. But what, just an absolute master of his art. So to get the chance to go down and sit and listen to him for a bit would be worth £150, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all the news, and now we'll look forward to the league game on Saturday.
It's time for the Devil of the Details.
So, Easter Saturday, Salford Devils faced Lee Leopards at the Salford Community Stadium. Paul, Lee like us, in the middle of a bit of an injury crisis, small squad like us. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like we said before, that Asiata is a big miss for them, and Ipapi as well, the hooker. But they've got some good players in that side as well. I know Lachlan Lamb was out injured, and Ben McNamara has been filling in for him, and he's been playing really well with that. Moylan, so, and I know Lamb played, I think he was on the bench last week against Featherstone and come back. And they struggled in that game, really, for periods. But they've got some good players, and they've got a good coach in Adrian Lamb. And they like us. They like to play rugby league the right way, don't they? Very, very enthusiastic, and they'll chuck the ball around and probably score points like they did last season. We had close games with them last year, three close games. There was nothing in those matches at all, was there, really? So I'm expecting another close game at the weekend. I think the bookies have given Lee a 2-point start, so they're normally not wrong. They're normally roughly about right. So I don't think you'll see many points either way in this game. I think it might be a high scoring game, but I don't think there'll be many points in it.
Yeah, Adrian Lamb says that Lachlan Lamb should be back. Gaz O'Brien is 60% chance of him playing, he says. Parker, they are ninth in the league, 1-1, lost 3, like Paul said. Ben McNamara and Moylan dictating operations at the moment. They're going to be a dangerous team. Obviously, Challenge Cup winners last year. I suppose they're hoping for another big season.
Yeah, they've done. I mean, like Paul said there, they were brilliant last year, weren't they? As the season got, they started slowly. I don't think they won in the first 4, 5, 6 weeks or whatever. But they were close in most games. We played them twice early on, didn't we? And just got over the top. I think Matt Moylan is probably the big name signing of the year for any club this year. He's been there in the NRL and done it. He's a fantastic player, very, very clever. The battle between him, Sneed, Cuss, and Lachlan Lamu, if he is back and fit and firing, he's a very dangerous player. So that'll be interesting watching the halfbacks go against each other. Like say, Gaz O'Brien coming back. We've got Charlie on the wing, who just keeps scoring. He's a phenomenon, isn't he? He's a great winger. He nearly gave the game up a few years ago, and fortunately for Lee, he went to them and he sort of revitalised his career and been brilliant for him. So I think it's going to be a massive game. They have got players missing, but the other week I predicted Hull beating them because they had 3-4 key players missing and they walked all over Hull. Yes, Hull aren't anything at the moment, but you still got to go up there and win. Do it, and they did it in style. They were ruthless, made very few errors. And it's only later in the game where they started to get sloppy, I think, because they realised game was over, just go for it. So they're a very dangerous opponent. If you give them any chance, they will take it. So we've got to be bang on it. If we play like we did against Saints and Wigan, I've got confidence we'll come out on top. If we play like we did on Friday night, it wouldn't be pretty. Because Lee do take the chances. They don't need many, but they do score good tries. Again, another team that, like OK, are good at creating that overlap out wide. So Charlie does score, or Hardacre, or got the lad in the other centre. Anyway, they've got real good players, real good strike. And obviously, we know Gareth O'Brien pretty well, the saviour, as he was. So that'll be interesting. Him and Ryan Brayley on the park against each other. So, yes, it's an interesting matchup's all over. Shame when I look at the squad today, no Gil Dudson. Gil's been good for us, so he's a miss, and obviously no Brad Singleton. So props wise, again, we're back to struggling. I wonder if Andrew Dixon will go prop in again. He did a great job against Wigan, but it's not ideal because Lee have got a few really good prop forwards who make good meters. I noticed that the last few weeks. And then, like Paul said, the Feb game at the weekend. He struggled. I mean, the conditions were awful. It didn't come across well on. It was on YouTube, wasn't it? The wind was horrific. If that's in your face, I don't care who you are. You're going to struggle. But they still made good meters when they had to against a pretty decent Perth team. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's one of them games that could go either way. It should be exciting, Derby. Just a shame it probably will rain, as it does every time we're at home anyway. But if it was a nice, dry, sunny day, and the crowd would be out in numbers, and I think you'd see fast-flowing rugby league. And you may well still do, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I think we might just come out on top.
Prediction time, Paul?
Yeah. I haven't thought about it, to be honest with you.
Never forget about it. Do you do it every week? How do you not think about it?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking about their players. I mean, we've talked about Ellery Hanley before. His lad plays at Lee. He's on loan from Wigan. He scored hat-trick against Featherstone. And he's a player to watch out for. And they've got Ben Nakabua, he's been playing for him as well. So he's one to watch out for. Kai O'Donnell is a good forward. So, yeah, I think they've got a good back line. Ricky Latelli, I think he's there, isn't he, Ricky Latelli? So, yeah, I'm looking for... I think there's points in this game. Like Park said, I think it depends on weather, but I'm going to go 28-24 to Salford. But that's not Sneedy missing a goal. That's him kicking 2 penalty goals and 4 tries. Because when I said 28, then I thought, oh, he's missed a kick. So if he's going to score 4 tries, he's going to kick all the goals and then 2 penalty goals.
Right. Parker, thoughts?
Yeah, I've just had to dig out what I did on my Parker's picks.
Yeah.
Can't go for 2 different scores. Can't that look yeah, I've gone with Salford 24, Lee 20.
24-20.
It could be that tight. I really do. I know Lee are missing players. And if we play like we can do, we could do a number with their players missing. But I just think quite a clever team. And Adrian Lamb's got them well drilled. So I think it'd be really tight.
Yeah, I'm going to go Salford 30, Lee 12, Nofaluma hat-trick, sends Paul Rowley's men into Happy Easter. Take that.
Yeah, is he going to play then, Nofaluma?
Yeah. I reckon so.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Ethan Ryan might be ahead of him at the moment.
We'll have to wait and see. So, that's the end of this week's podcast. Paul, you can go and pick the star up now in Mary Poppins. I was thinking, you know, when you're thinking about your score prediction, while she was belting out Spoonful of Sugar, you could be thinking about what score's going to be Saturday.
I wasn't thinking about rugby league last night for once. I had an hour off. But my dad was there. So during the interval, we had a cup of tea and we was constantly waffling on about Salford like we do. As soon as we go in the same room as my dad, it's the first thing we always say to each other. We've always been like that. So yeah, but no, like, yeah, good show, guys. I've enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward. Like I said, I've got a bit of time off, so I'm going to watch the two if I get a chance. I'm going to try and watch the 2 Super League games tomorrow and the Aussie games as well. That's if Ellen don't find me a load of stuff to do. But I'm really going to try and watch plenty of rugby league this weekend because I think I deserve it.
Yeah, it was short but sweet. Parker, another great show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's always tough when you're coming off the back of a bit of a hiding like we got last week, and it's just sort of stay positive. But I've seen enough this year already. And I think we all have to still be happy with what we're seeing. And who knows, another win this week. We're going to 2 more winnable games after that. And 6, 7, 8 weeks into a season doesn't get much better. So, yeah, great to talk to you two lads. Obviously, we had a bit of a chat on the way home on Friday, all 3 of us. So, that was interesting. But, yeah, you know, great show. And it's a shame I couldn't be on a bit earlier.
Yeah, I want to say a big thanks to all our Kofi Reds who have bought me, Paul and Parky coffees over the last couple of days, help us sort of purchase programmes to help this podcast grow. We can't thank you enough for your support. So big thanks for joining us on this Devil in the Detail. I've been Rob Parkinson. You can find us on Facebook, Devil in the Detail SRD. You can find us on X at DITDSRD. And you can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes and Spotify. Good luck, Reds. We'll see you on the other side.